Okay, good. Good evening. Welcome. I'm Whitney Sweeney, President of the State Board of Education. I call the March 17th regular meeting to order. It is 5:05 PM. This meeting is open to the public in person in the Media Center of Howard High School in Wilmington, Delaware, and electronically via WebEx. The State Board of Education published the public meeting notice and the meeting link on March 10th, 2022 on the state public meeting calendar site. Thank you for your patience if we run into any technology issues as we simultaneously conduct this meeting in person and electronically. As a courtesy to others and to prevent unnecessary disruption, if you're logged in via WebEx, please mute your microphone when you're not speaking. Members of the public should refrain from speaking until the time for public comment. Today's agenda contains 3 opportunities for public comment. The first opportunity is for comment related to regulations. The second is related to charter schools, and the third is reserved for general public comment near the end of the meeting. Opportunity to sign up for public comment was available via email prior to this meeting. For those attending in person, sign-up sheets are available on the table by the door. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the chat box now. This will help us to begin to create a list of individuals who would like to speak. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. We ask that members of the public use the chat box only to sign up for public comment or to make us aware of any technical issues. In order to maximize the effectiveness of this meeting, each board member should announce his or her name before speaking. Please remember to announce your name as you reply to others or participate in ongoing conversation. This is particularly relevant for those that are not in the room. During the presentations, presenters will regularly pause and ask if any state board members have questions. Please don't speak until this time. During the presentation, presenters will clearly reference which document they're reviewing. When taking a vote on an item, I'll ask if there is a motion and a second. We'll then conduct a roll call vote. As required by statute, this meeting is being recorded and the recording will be available to the public on our website within 7 business days of the meeting. Now, before we begin, I'd actually like to thank Newcastle County Votech School District for hosting our meeting tonight, and thank you all for having us. It's fantastic. I've never been in this building before. I had a little tour just before, so thank you very much. We appreciate you having us here tonight. The first thing on our agenda is our roll call. So Ms. Honor, if you could call the roll for state board members, please.
Here.
Present. Spiker.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Dr. Noble. Brentel.
Present.
Preston.
Present.
Present.
Ms. Turner.
Present.
Great, thank you. I'd note that we also have the following individuals participating in today's meeting: Secretary Mark Holodick, Deputy Attorney General Cara Jaros, and State Board of Education Executive Director Jenna Honor. So the first item is, or next on the item, is the approval of the agenda. The agenda was posted on March 10th. Are there any changes to the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting as presented?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. The February 17th regular meeting minutes were provided to the board for review in advance of this meeting. Are there any additions or deletions? Is there a motion to approve the February 17th meeting minutes as presented?
Brittingham, make a motion to approve the February 17th, 2022 regular meeting minutes.
Is there a second?
Lopez, second.
Did you get that? All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
This is Wally Rushton, abstain. I was absent from the February meeting.
Candace Pfeiffer, I abstain. I was absent from the February meeting.
Great, thank you. Okay, the motion carries. So first on the agenda is a presentation from Newcastle County Votech School District, and we have several people here. Terry Villa, Director of Student Services and District Programs at Newcastle County Votech, to present information. And we also have Joe Jones and, I'm sorry, I just went blank.
Chris Moss,
thank you very much. And if you wanted to introduce, kind of give a little bit of background on everyone who's presenting here, and we will pull it up for you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Joseph Jones, Superintendent of Newcastle County VOTech. We're President Sweeney and others of members of the board. Welcome to Howard High School of Technology, Dr. Holodick. Welcome. Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank our technical team. So thank you. Scott is amazing. And so I also just to my right is Terry Villa, Director of Student Support Services. And then also Chris Moxley, who is the Hodson Co-op Coordinator. As we move into the presentation, I did want to take a moment when Jenna first asked if we would be willing to host, and we gladly said yes. One reason we wanted to choose Howard is because of its legacy. You'll find a report on Howard as we really went through some massive construction and reconstruction of the historic Howard just next door. But that's not the only reason. Reverend Powell is a graduate of Howard High and a part of Howard's Hall of Fame, I believe a 2020 inductee. So congratulations, Mr. Powell, but also thank you for being here and has served this community and this school well since he graduated. And also a special thanks to Vince Lofink. Vince worked here from 1996 to 2015, and he was our school to work transition coordinator. Who I believe Chris's dad, Brian Moxley, also held a very similar position at Hodson. So very early on, we would really coach students to go to interviews, get the resumes ready, and through some incredible partnerships in the city of Wilmington, MBNA, when it was just right up the street, a lot of that was because of Vince. So a special thanks to Vince. And just as I've moved out through my career, when I started in this district at Howard, I really attribute my understanding of school-based work learning to Vince Lofink and Don Pedante, who was the co-op coordinator here. So thank you again for being here. I also want to acknowledge Principal Hill. He runs this building and his team every day and does a phenomenal job. So thank you, Principal Hill, for hosting this evening. Before I turn it over to Terry, I just want to also mention we have an admin workshop and an induction program going on, so we didn't want to seem rude if we bail out. So just wanted that to be known up front as well. Mrs. Villa.
Thank you, Dr. Jones, and welcome to Howard High School of Technology. Good evening, Board President, board members, and guests. It's my pleasure to talk with you this evening about our career and technical programs that we have in our district. Next slide, please. So just to give you a little bit of a landscape of who we are, I think you know that we cover Newcastle County. We have 4 high schools, 9 through 12. When our students apply to us and come to us, they leave their feeder pattern and are courageous enough to come to our 4 high schools that span from we're in the most northern part of where our schools are to St. George's, which is in Middletown. And you can see our student enrollment there, which is around 850 to almost 1650. Next slide. We have 40 career programs that span the district. We have some high schools that have specific career programs, like at Howard. We have information technology as well as our Academy of Finance. We also have many career programs that are duplicated in our buildings, such as electrical trades, carpentry. We have a specific Academy of Engineering and Manufacturing at Hodson. So we span all the different clusters that include health careers, our transportation cluster, construction trades, IT, and human services, such as culinary arts. Next, please. So some highlights I would like to share with you, and some of this is what really sets us apart from other comprehensive high schools that have career programs. So first, we have 4 outstanding high schools that have a fabulous reputation across the county and with our communities. Each high school has a robust exploratory program for our 9th graders, because when our 9th graders enter, they choose a career program, and by the end of 9th grade, they are placed and they stay in that career program from 10th through 12th grade. We have a very strong history with our business partners that you'll hear Chris talk about shortly. We have cutting edge technologies in our building so that our students can experience what's being used in the field, as well as work-based learning opportunities. You'll often hear us or students call it co-op, that's cooperative employment, work-based learning, very, very similar. We have a ton of opportunities for our students. Our students also, in many of our career programs, are required to take industry certification so that when they graduate, they are ready with certification straight from the industry to begin work. We have also a very strong relationship with Dell Tech. They help us in our career programs, hone and develop our curriculum in our career programs, as well as assist us with dual enrollment opportunities in the career programs. Also, what many may not realize is that at Newcastle County VOTech, we house and have a thriving adult ed program with just over 1,200 students in it. These are adult students, our apprenticeship programs, and they occur at Dellcastle and at Hodson. We also, the Delaware Skills Center, which I'm sure you're familiar with, that is also under the umbrella of Newcastle County VOTech, where we have 7 career programs, including nurse tech, electrical trades, welding, practical nursing, computer information technology. And at the Skills Center, they help adults get job placement in the community. Also, 100% of our students, it's actually part of our requirement that our students, in order to earn a diploma from Newcastle County VOTech in their high schools, they must successfully complete 10 credits in career and technical education. The state requires 9, our school board requires 10. So that's a bit of a unique, big difference between us and other comprehensive high schools. Next, please. So a couple of myths about VOTech that has always been around throughout the decades, that if you attend one of our schools in Newcastle County VOTech, you cannot go to college. That is a myth, ladies and gentlemen. 83% of our students attend some form of post-secondary, which takes the place of 4- and 2-year colleges, trade schools, or apprenticeship programs. The other myth is that you can't earn a high wage unless you have a 4-year degree. And I'm sure all of you have heard, especially through the pandemic, that that is not actually true, that there are millions, 30 million jobs in the United States paying more than $55,000 a year that do not require a 4-year degree. And that enables our students to go right into the workforce or a 2-year like at Dell Tech with minimal or no debt at all, and they can just start earning. Next slide, please. Chris is going to walk you through and summarize for you some of the certifications and our business partnerships that we have.
Thank you. So as Ms. Villa was saying, we certifications and business partnerships is a big part of what we do every day. Our students are going to work. They're getting opportunities every day. On average, our students are making $12 to $14 an hour while they're in school, while they're going to school. We have 2 different tracks. Some students are working 2 weeks at a time and then rotating back to school at 2 weeks at a time, while other students are working half day every day. Our students are coming out doing well. They're getting hired right out of other opportunities. Some of the opportunities that our students are presented with in our nurse tech program, they're graduating with CNA certifications. So places like Cadia Healthcare are hiring our students as seniors. They're beginning their workforce. They're beginning to be a part of the workforce as while they're students as well. We also have a brand new partnership that is not up there with Nemours. So we have a really exciting partnership. We're getting ready to start with Nemours. We'll be kicking off this spring and hopefully through the summer and for fall. Construction. So some of our construction partners that we work with, M. Davis and Sons, Nickel Electric, Enterprise Masonry, some of the biggest contractors, not only in Newcastle County, but in Delaware. Our students are part of that workforce. Not only, they're not just going to work and sweeping floors and being laborers, they're actually doing work. So they're actually being put on jobs that are giving meaningful work, and what they're doing every day matters to getting the job done on time. Cosmetology, our cosmetology students take the Delaware State Board, so they're graduating with their state license. They can start cutting hair when they graduate. That's a huge key for us. Salons like Luna Divina, Salon Rispoli, those kinds of salons are hiring our students. We're getting our hands on clients right away. They're learning while they're on the job, but they're also learning in the classroom as well. Culinary, So today was Pro Start. Pro Start was up at the Riverfront Center, the Pro Start competition. So our students were up there this morning from a couple of the schools, got to show off kind of what their skills are. They did very well from what I understand. I didn't hear the final results, but groups like the Platinum Dining Group are part of that. Our medical assisting, we partner with Christiana Care. They get certifications through their certified medical assistant. Our tech drafting program. So our tech drafting program is near and dear to my heart. It's what I taught prior to what I do, prior to becoming co-op coordinator. Certifications such as AutoCAD, SolidWorks, industry softwares that are being used every day. A big partner of ours is ACE Mentoring. So we just were excellent in education award winner for our ACE Mentoring program, which we're very proud of. And then we have our auto body and auto tech programs as well. Brandywine body shop, iCar certifications are getting to work. Our students are getting to use. Next slide, please. So a little bit different than our business partners, our advisory boards. Our advisory boards, we use our advisory boards to help guide direct curriculum development. So we meet once a year. We bring them all in. We just had one last week. We just had a bunch of board meetings last week. We bring them in to help figure out what does industry look like? What are they looking for? What are we missing? What are we doing well? Where can we help our students be better prepared when they graduate? So we have a great advisory board through a lot of career areas. People are coming in constantly. As a co-op coordinator, I get people reaching out to me all the time wanting to become advisory board members, which is really cool. Other things advisory board members do is support materials. So they are great with, hey, what do you need? If there's something they can help you with, especially with our construction trades, with the cost of everything right now, if there's materials that we need, we can pick the phone up and say, hey, can you help us out? They've always helped us out with those types of things. Our work-based learning opportunities. So as Terry, Ms. Villa said earlier, we call it co-op a lot of times, but it is the same. It's very similar. They are paid work opportunities, as I spoke about earlier. We had students making over $20,000 last year while they were in high school still. We have some students that will graduate and within 3 years be making six figures just based on the career path that they are choosing. If they're not afraid to work and we can get them in the right environment, they can thrive without ever going to college. There is certifications that need to take place and there is additional education, but a lot of times they're extremely successful. On the work-based learning, they're learning. They're still learning every single day. They're getting help from the experts in the field. Our partners are great with understanding that. They're not expecting them to be, journeymen and people that know everything, but at the same time, they work with our students and they help them learn to be the next workforce down the road. And then last thing is employability skills. Our employability skills, our students throughout the state are working to, can they look somebody in the eye? Can they go to a job interview? Can they write a resume? Those are the types of things that our students are learning every single day. And we harp on, we make sure that they're well prepared. So when they graduate with us, they're ready for the real world. I'm gonna bring Ms. Villa back up.
Next slide, please. So why do students and parents choose Newcastle County VOTech? Well, like I said earlier, our high schools have a great reputation through athletics, academically, career program wise, and through their strong school climate and culture that each of the schools have. As mentioned earlier, our students must have 10 CTE credits in order to graduate, where the schools in other comprehensive school districts only offer 3 to 6 credits in the career programs. We have state-of-the-art shops and labs, so students can really work on what they're going to see once they get the job or once they're in a co-op situation. We have trained and experienced CTE instructors. We cannot hire folks to be in our career programs unless they have anywhere between 4 to 6 years of experience in that career area. So some of that depends on the instructor's educational background, but others is you have to, like for carpentry, you have to have had at least 6 years of full-time employment in order to be our carpentry instructor. As Chris mentioned, strong work-based learning programs. We also carry a tradition of success. We just celebrated Delcastle's 50th year a few years ago, pre-COVID in 2019, and it was a 2018-19 school year. It was very exciting. And also, as Dr. Jones mentioned, the significance of Howard High School of Technology, the 1927 building that is across the way, as well as the building you're in today, which we refer to as the 1972 building. And we also have a great deal of community support, not only from our business partners, but our parents, from graduates, from years past. And it's just great. Everybody knows who we are, what we do, but we are extremely different from our other high schools in the area because of that 10 credits, as well as our students spend half their day, almost half their day in their career program. So their level of learning that career program is very deep. Next slide. So we continue to serve the community. We are getting a brand new building for Hodson in the next few years, which we are thrilled about. We're getting a new HVAC system at Delcastle, and we're using our ESSER funds to do that. We are beginning a 1+1 program where students, our students in high school, will be able to graduate with 30 credits that they can apply at Dell Tech. We're starting a program at Howard, and we're looking to explore other options in our other high schools. And of course, we've just partnered with the City of Wilmington Youth Development Program, where we have one of our employees that is basically on loan to the city, where they'll be working on workforce development, revitalizing the city, and also youth employment. So we're really excited about that, and the work continues. Next slide. And we thank you. Any questions that you may have, we're happy to entertain them.
No, I'm just going to say thank you. That was really interesting, and like it's very exciting to hear all the different things. I'm going to open it up to the board. One, I know I have a couple of questions, but I'm going to open it up to the board first because you highlighted a couple of really interesting programs. So before I get started, I don't know if anyone on the line or anyone
in the room. I'll start. I find it amazing that in 9th grade, they have to make a choice and what career path they want to take. It's a young age. I mean, how do you get them to make their mind up and make sure they stay focused on that for the next 3 years?
Well, that's why the exploratory program is so significant. Each school has a slightly different process from the other schools. But when I was, I've worked in all buildings. I worked in Howard for only a summer, but the other three buildings I've worked in, and all the programs are different, but they spend quality time in each of the areas, getting to know the instructor, because that's a big deal for 14, 15-year-olds, who they're going to be spending their day with, as well as for parents, what comes after high school. So once you are in cosmetology, you know, what comes after high school for you? And the students, you know, they do a whole, they explore by going through the different career programs. We try to tell our career teachers that, you know, the best that our 9th graders can have some hands-on activities in those areas. They'll get a feel for what's expected. They do some research about what the career program is through the student success program and where it's going to lead them. Do they need schooling? I remember one time there were students in, when I worked at Delcastle, I was an assistant principal there for a while, and there were students who loved cosmetology, 9th graders, and they wanted to do cosmetology. And then when they visited, and we had an operating salon at Delcastle, and they still do, where on Fridays the community can come in, the typical girls who were interested in cosmetology didn't realize how much chemistry is involved in cosmetology, that working with the public can be different at times, and not everybody is like you. So you have to adapt and you have to really be a people person. So those are the types of situations that we try to get our students to understand before they make their choice.
Okay. What's the pride at number one or two top career paths that are being chosen now? I assume healthcare is right up there with it.
Yes, our nurse tech programs are thriving. Our culinary arts programs are thriving. At St. George's, we have EMS, and that is a very popular program, emergency medical services. Dental is huge for dental assisting. That's another great career program where kids go right into working with dentists, electrical, and plumbing.
And I appreciate your comment on that. You can make some money working with your hands. I've seen it firsthand, and it's great. It's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Shelby Ferris. I first want to say thank you all for giving such an informative and detailed presentation. It was really nice. Y'all spoke earlier about having the 10 credits rather than the 3 to 6 that some other schools have. Can you speak more about how that affects other academics, like the typical like math, science, reading, and how that affects the student schedules and all that?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. And it's not, I'm glad you asked it, because it's not something that most people know. So in our school system, we do not have any study halls. There's absolutely no downtime because they are taking English, math, social science, a foreign language, driver's ed, PE, and health for pretty much half their day to maybe 6 periods of the day. And then 3 or 4 periods of the day, they're in their career program. So we are not a school system for everybody, in the sense that we do not have an arts program. We have a drum section at Delcastle, but we do not offer theater or chorus or band like some of the other comprehensive high schools do, because our kids are taking those credits in half their day in career programs and half their day in their academics. So we basically, this is how I kind of explain our school district. We basically do it all, with the exception of what I shared with you with chorus and band, because we have a thriving athletic program. We have a ton of clubs that our students are involved in. They get all of the academic background and support that they need in order to earn a Delaware diploma, as well as the 10 credits for their career program. And they also can learn their multi-literacy certificate, as other students can do in the state.
Thank you. I was also curious, having such a rigorous program, do you find that that affects student stress levels or mental health at all? And if so, how do you combat that?
Well, I think every student may feel stressed no matter what school they go to. We have also a school schedule, and some of them are different in certain grades. But years ago, we started the semester-based courses. So a student would take social studies first semester and then English second semester. And what that did was that decreased the amount of academics that they would have every night. So decreasing that stress level, and also decreasing all of the homework assignments and all of the work that they have to do, basically cut it in half by semester. So we thought that was helpful.
All right. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
The other thing I think that really helps is the amount of time they're spending in their career area. So mm-hmm. You really become a family. So as a former career instructor, I get to know my students as freshmen, and I get to see them progress as seniors. So by getting to really know them, I learn to know what makes them tick. What, if they're upset, I can then really begin to counsel them. The direct, whether it's a girlfriend issue or a boyfriend issue, it may be a career level trying to figure out. Having that family atmosphere, spending so much time with them for 4 years, really, it does make a difference.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
First and foremost, I just wanted to let you know how elated I am to be here this evening. This is the first time back in person meeting for myself. And when Jenna indicated that we would be at the historic Howard High School, I was leaping for joy. And so the presentation was awesome. I just want to express my appreciation to all of you who continue to make Howard High School this jewel of an institution, a legacy institution, not only in Wilmington, not only in the city, the county, the state, and even in some ways a national institution. We have had community pride with Howard through generational community pride. My parents, my grandparents, my son, nephews, and even I have a new son that's enrolling, just got accepted 9th grade. He's coming to Howard High School. And so, Howard High School means so much to so many in this community. I did had an opportunity, principal let me into the Wall of Fame room and saw all of the heroes and sheroes of the past who have really been on the vanguard of educational for those in the community who have thus been disenfranchised. And so saying that, how do you leverage that historic brand of Howard High School, looking back in history, in order to launch into your destiny, into the future? When we went to school, there was Wilmington High, PS, Dillawar High Schools that are no longer existing. Howard High is still the same high school that exists in the city of Wilmington. How do you lean in and leverage into that brand, historical brand, for your support moving forward? Because the community, when you say Howard, community lights up. And yeah.
I'll take that. It's through communication. That 7-time the Alumni Association, we've discussed, regardless of the iteration, whether it was Howard High School, Howard Career Center, or Howard High School Technology, we're all Wildcats. The importance of making sure that all of our students go an experience where they understand the shoulders they stand upon. So we bring in visitors. We've hosted the Hall of Fame ceremony for 3 Wildcats from the 50. At our students from today participate in that ceremony. So it's important to not only tell them this is a historical place, but to have them speak with. You know, what I often tell the Alumni Association, you have to bring in all graduates from all 3 iterations of the school in order for the Alumni Association to continue to live. We have several staff members in the building that wear their Wildcat pride every day. So they're engaging in not only something that's taught, just something they experience so that they can find themselves one day on that.
Wonderful. And lastly, recently the city of Wilmington designated some ARPA funds, I think, to the Newcastle County District, and I guess specifically for Howard. I think it was like $30 million as earmarked for the East Side, and Howard was a part of that that announcement. I would be interested in to hear how some of your students are taking advantage of that. I think it was identified as 25 or some students that were going to be trained for their skills, special skill set, to now help to renovate the East Side of Wilmington. I thought that was a very interesting initiative.
It's an excellent question. Very valid. We're really excited about that.
Thank you.
So it's an excellent question. So that youth revitalization project really was the brainchild of just a couple of us sitting around in the mayor's office talking about what we could do through leveraging our students, revitalize the city, and then also workforce development. So our board, Ms. Santiago, Mr. Paoli, they had at different times spoke to me about workforce development and how are we going to build into the construction sector and what are we going to do. So when the city landed on some of those funds, they reached out to us and we thought, you know what, we have a thriving co-op program. How could we then situate that here at Howard, but also not limit it to Howard? So 25 really is just our first go. And so the idea is we'll start it here. Colleen Connedy, who worked at Howard, she was the assistant principal here. She served as principal here for a year and then was our CT supervisor. She's the one on loan that Mrs. Villa discussed. So the idea is that we'll work with the city of Wilmington. Those students will become employed essentially through the city, through those funds, and work with the city on real estate that they have here that is either dilapidated, that just needs renovations. So specifically within the East Side, but we're hoping to grow that beyond just Howard. So we'll extend that opportunity to any student who lives in the city between the ages of 17 and 24. So the idea will be, even if you attend Brandywine, but live in here or Mount and live in the city and you want to work and help reconstruct parts of the city, we'll work with your school. You'll come on our essentially our payroll, but still earn credits there. Then the third arm of it, which this is probably the more ambitious, but we're also more excited about, is any student who's dropped out. we want to give them an opportunity through our adult ed program. So either through the GED program or through Grove. So a lot of students, unfortunately, they may have 20 credits and they're right at the finish line and they fall just a little short. We'll bring them on as well, enroll them in Groves. We also build in some wraparound services just in case they need some help and they need to be worked with, and work not only to get them the skills they'll need to get into the construction industry and some other parts of the industry, but also a high school diploma. So it's really tiered out three ways. So we're hoping this first year is very successful. We'll go present to city council and then share our success with them and hopefully broaden that beyond what we're looking at right now and really serve the city and Eastside and the students to also help an industry that's been underrepresented as well with minorities. So we're real excited about it.
Thank you. That's You're a welcome. Great partnership. Thank I you. Can speak all day, but I'll yield to my colleagues.
Just briefly, because Reverend Powell asked a key question I was interested in. That's absolutely phenomenal. I had a question around workforce development. You hit it out the park. The question related to that, well, first of all, thank you for having us, and it's wonderful to be in your building. Exciting to hear about the breadth and depth of what you do across all your schools. Specific as to your instructors, who you mentioned are highly qualified and trained and come in and provide that level of experience for the benefit of students. Generally speaking, you know, I don't hate to paint broad brushes, is that, you know, for instance, construction has experienced some attrition, some changes in their workforce itself. And when you talk about, you know, bringing people in to train while the workforce itself is going through some changes, I was wondering if you have experienced any impacts as a result of that, whether that be in your plumbing or or any of the other general construction trades, or if you've experienced some protection from that, if you will, because of the people that you work with, and you've continued to be able to provide sort of a seamless training while that industry clearly needs some infusion of new folks to help, you know, keep it going.
It's all you, Dr. Jones.
It's an excellent question. So when we hit the Great Recession in 2008, I will say we were crippled. And many of our partners and so forth, they were cutting back immensely. And I was principal of Delcastle at the time. And that hit hard because, as Chris mentioned, a lot of our students are earning great wages. What we didn't mention is three of our four schools are also Title I high poverty schools who are earning an income for their families. So they feel it across the board. So I would say, though, right now with industry, once we emerged from 2008, I'd say since 2014, we've really been riding a high. And so since there's been such a shortage, they've been more aggressive towards our students in very positive ways. And now a non-construction example, I built a relationship recently with Mike Fleming from the Bio Society, and we, from that initial conversation, I've met with AstraZeneca, PharmaTech, and then also recently the IED center out of STAR for genetic engineering and so on with the CRISPR technology. All three of them we're working with now. We just set up tours for PharmaTech. They're willing to look at our 17-year-olds, which usually 18 is an issue, unless you're 18 years old, but that industry is suffering so much in terms of need. And we didn't know, like AstraZeneca will bring in a diploma high school graduate, help them on a track to become a chemist and pay 100% of their tuition. So just from an initial phone call with Mike Fleming has now led to three hopefully robust partnerships. All I do is talk about the district and then people like Chris get involved who can actually make stuff happen. And then from there, we're seeing now more people almost go from Deltek straight to us. And we need Deltek to help that pipeline. But more and more companies are looking for workers. But it's also why, not to be too long-winded, we just recently started a teacher academy here at Howard because of our own shortages in our own industry. So build the pipeline from Howard straight through, and hopefully the students will come back and work here. So it's one of our goals. Thank you.
Any other?
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
It's Lo Fink. I just want to just throw in a few things, and I have to be careful that I am speaking as a member of the State Board of Education and not an old-time, old-guy employee of Newcastle County VOTEC or Howard High School of Technology. I think Pravi should be extremely proud, Reverend Pally should be extremely proud of what Howard's accomplished. And one of the questions that you had talked about tying the past to the future, and I can tell you going over, let's say over to Frawley Stadium for Howard High's baseball team, where you could walk through the turnstiles and turn around to the kids and say, hey, look, Judy Johnson. This is a statue of Judy Johnson. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And he graduated from Howard in 1928. You could take them to Legislative Hall, and lo and behold, the dean of the state Senate was Senator Herman Holloway, who unfortunately passed away in 1994. But Herman Holloway was a graduate of Howard High School. You could go to a social studies program in school and talk about Brown versus Board and who were some critical attorneys in those cases. Certainly one was Lewis Redding, the Dean of African-American Attorneys in the state of Delaware. So I don't want to speak for the school, but Pravi, you should be extremely proud of what Howard has done and Howard has accomplished. And I want to thank Dr. Jones for his kind words. I want to thank my Howard High School graduate who gave me this nice haircut. And I want to thank Chris Moxley. I don't know, Chris, if you could still catch a few innings. And great job, Ms. Villa. Great job, all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate those comments. Anyone else from the board? Did you want?
Hi, it's Wendy Turner. I want to say thank you for a really wonderful and informative presentation. It's inspiring to hear about everything going on. I love the comments about the teacher pipeline. That's very smart and needed. I wanted to ask you how are your students? You know, teenagers were hit so hard by COVID. Many students maybe being out of school at home during their freshman year, during this critical time when they're plugging into what their eventual career might be. What kind of pivots have you done to support your students, and just how are they doing? I have two teenagers at home. Living through this has been quite something with that age group. So you had a lot to really do to meet their needs, most likely, I'm thinking.
Yeah, we had, just like everyone else, you know, several waves and types of learning. So there was the remote learning and then hybrid, which we started early on last school year. And this year, being in full time with everybody, we really start to see a huge difference. One of the things that we've done is we utilized a survey system, and we introduced it in October, November, where we surveyed every single student on their mental health, emotional health. And we just did the second survey of that in late February, and we were able to compare how kids were feeling, at least as they're going through this school year. And I'm happy to say that the majority of the students feel more comfortable being in their classes. They, Chris said, being with their career teacher almost half the day, that is sort of their safety net in many, many ways. So that I think is something that is unique to us that we rediscovered about how important that is for our students. So our teachers, we actually curriculum wise, we've had to, I'm sure just like everywhere else, we've had to prioritize the curriculum, basically in layman's terms, just shrunk it to what do kids really need to know and be able to do in order to be successful in the grade levels as well as in our career program. So the industry certifications that you saw, that becomes a main piece of what we want the kids to be successful on those certifications so they can get out and earn more right from the onset. So those are things that we really harped on. We are working on getting additional social workers into our schools. We have a school-based health center in each of our schools. Each school has a licensed clinical social worker working there. Two of our high schools, we have a community partnerships and just started a third partnership with Child Inc., who's going to be working with our students who are deemed homeless youth. So we've got the supports in place. Everything takes time. But our focus at VOTEC has always been that we see ourselves and behave like a family, whether it's the administrative group, teacher group, but especially with our students. So our you know, we want our students to feel comfortable with us, and there's a lot of support in order to help our students. But it is a process, and it will take a while, but we're already starting to see some growth in how students are feeling more stable in their school environment.
Mrs. Bill is also very humble. So, but I did want to add, she willingly is leading up as Director of Student Services. That's a brand new position. We've never had that before. We've obviously had student services, but she has taken that on. And I really just asked her if she would do that. It took a ton of professional responsibility and maturity because she was our Director of Instruction. So, but I knew she had exactly what we needed to understand how we could get back into the buildings and support our kids. So she's led that throughout this school year. And we've also hired people under her to help support that work. So I know she's not gonna tip her own hat, but she's done a tremendous job this year. Because one thing we know in education, we do have a lot of resources, but it's how well they're strategically aligned. And if we can align those resources, the more effective we can be with our students. And she's done just that.
So that's wonderful to hear. And I'm really happy to hear about the uptick in how the students are doing and feeling and settling in and adjusting. I think we're seeing that all around. I want to commend you on the use of that ground floor data from your students, because that's where the work begins and that's where the resource alignment begins. So well done. And I'm glad to hear all that.
Thank you. And thank you, Dr. Jones.
Great. Were there any other comments from board members? All right, most of my questions were asked as we were walking through this, but the one thing that I found really interesting was the relationship with the city of Wilmington. So thank you, Reverend Powell, for pointing that out. I did have one follow-up question on that. And you had mentioned this in terms of the students that had dropped out and how to engage them. How are you connecting with those students so that people, and this gets back to the whole alignment, there's so many resources that are there that people don't even know exist. So how do you reach those kids?
So one of the initiatives, Colleen and I just met on what is her 30, 60, 90 days look like. It's after we get settled, we build the foundation with our students, reaching out to the school counselors in the other buildings and trying to find, you know, if they know someone. Most schools have some form of adult learning. So students they know that may have been a part of it, that'll just be on the ground and really just through community centers, out literally on the street, walking down and seeing if a kid's hanging out, making sure, because it doesn't take too long to know just the students and in the area. It just takes a willingness to really work hard and find out in the weeds. So the easiest will be contacting the counselors, which that's a process that we just discussed. The other will be getting in touch with some of the local community centers and then literally hitting the ground and seeing who's available, who's out there. And that was also important for the wraparound services, because just in order to help a student see purpose, you can't just give them a hammer. And we know that. And so getting them involved in something bigger, letting them see the revitalization of the community, that's the purpose. It's not just about that individual, it's about what they'll be a part of. And hopefully word will spread. And then there's so many community groups, churches that we'll tap into as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, it really is. And to the point about seeing something build, I mean, that I think right there, that's where everybody's going to want to be a part of something, because you can actually see what you've done.
Absolutely.
No, that's fantastic. Anything else?
Just very briefly, Bob, follow up.
Are you finding that you have the resources in-house to manage that type of outreach, or are you finding the need to partner with, you know, outside vendors? There's a number of, you know, companies that offer these services. But are you able to manage that? Because obviously that's a huge commitment of time and energy to do that work. So curious if you have that in-house or if you partner.
We don't know yet. So I have a lot of faith in Colleen, but you know, we'll have to wait and see and just how that all plays out. I will say working with the city has been wonderful. And originally when we decided how would we do this, I've said from the beginning, we'll need one individual dedicated. this can't be, if we really want this to work, if we really want to make an impact, and they hopped on. So I just met with the mayor several times, his team, they've been wonderful. But to that end, we just don't know yet. And there's a lot of different moving parts we still have to iron out. You know, it sounds great now. It also looks great on paper. But we know it's going to take a lot of work, a lot of conversation, getting all of these different areas in sync. But I think it's possible. And I think we're primed for it for a lot of different reasons. A lot of good came out of COVID that we can take advantage of, even like remote meetings. You know, although my secretary schedules a lot of my days like Tetris and we're trying to get away from that, in some ways that's beneficial. You can connect with people from all across any time, any day. And we're hoping that that will help connect and shorten the time between needing to make decisions and connect people. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
Can I get one last find, Joe? Okay. The when you talked about adult education and then the challenges that we have in the urban center, and how are you focusing or intentionally focusing on those returning individuals from incarceration who perhaps have a felony or something on their record that inhibits them to enter into the workplace? And this would be a great craft and skill in order to engage them into some opportunity for employment.
Reverend Proud, that's an incredible question, because we know that, again, with the purpose, we have to acclimate individuals back in. We haven't discussed how we're going to do that yet. I'm a board member of the WCAC, and a lot of our conversations are about reacclimation. One thing we have talked about, especially with nonviolent felonies, you know, a lot of those, even with misdemeanors, other things that may prevent and create obstacles, how do we get around those early on? And how can we build that within a system to help them? But then that's also in its infancy. But I think that's something we have to look at as a whole, as a community. How can we look at not only really preventing students from getting into that education to prison pipeline and disrupting that, but then also if they have made those choices, how can we reacclimate them? We've had those discussions, but they're ongoing. We have not figured that out, and I imagine that's going to be a pretty long road ahead.
And that would be on the juvenile and the adult level.
Yes, that's the goal. 17 to 24 is kind of our perfect sweet spot. But I can tell you at others, we've had those conversations, especially for the skill center and reacclimating them in through the skill center.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So I have one last question. I apologize. Are there other cities that are doing what you're doing, like from a model perspective and the use of the ARPA funds? So are there any other, and obviously it's relatively new, so it's early stages, but are there other models that you can use, or is this just groundbreaking?
This is groundbreaking. As far as I know, I mean, this truly was the brainchild of board members asking myself and our team, how do we go ahead and help increase the pipeline into construction? How do we revitalize the city is what we were getting from the city side, and really the mayor's desire to do something. I think there's a few individuals I've talked to over the course of the last 3 years as I've been superintendent, two and three quarters, that are a little tired. I mean, truly tired of talking. And we have not made any promises. COVID has derailed us in many ways, but we're working hard to build this level of community. Even little things, Mr. Hill can talk more about it, but Legal Support Services here just got a Noble grant. We hired Diana Moss. She was the first SRO in the state for DSP, for Delaware State Police. We were approached by BB Coker and Chief Tracy. Could we do something to help the image of the police, work with the police in the city of Wilmington, but also increase their pipeline? And so we've met with the city, the police, here, Legal Support Services, marrying that curriculum and almost start like a youth cadet academy. That could help not only help the impression of the police academy, but also our students' favorable outlook on the police and so forth. So, you know, there's a few things that we've just been open, and instead of saying no, we've just decided to say yes. But to your original question, we think we're the only one in the nation right now, even on this track.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's exciting to watch.
Oh, Wildcats.
No doubt.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all. I appreciate your time. The next item that we have on the agenda are Professional Standards Board's regulation. We have two in front of us for discussion tonight for information. Tonight, we have Dr. Linnea Bradshaw, Executive Director, Professional Standards Board. The first one we have is Regulation 1550. This is agri-science teacher. Again, this is for information. Okay, thank you. I was trying to figure out where she might be.
Thank you. I was trying to unmute myself and it wasn't quite there yet. I sort of lost track. Did you say 1550?
We are on 1550 agri-science.
Yes. So I worked with Bart Gill, CTE Agri-Science Education Associate, in revising this regulation. We did not identify any changes necessary in the requirements. And so all of the changes that you see in this regulation are standard modifications. And as CTE teachers, agri-science teachers also have the option to enter the profession through the skilled and technical science teacher pathway. We do have a significant number who enter in the traditional manner who are agri-science graduates from our universities. Are there any questions about this particular regulation? This was a very easy one from our standpoint.
Any questions from board members? Okay, then I'm going to go with no on that one, and we can move on to Regulation 1564. Before I do that, to the extent that anything comes up, because this will be coming up in front of us for action. So if you have questions, make sure that you funnel them to Jenna so we can make sure that those are addressed. But if there are no further questions, we'll move on to 1564, physical education teacher. And again, this is for information.
Physical education teacher was first published in the month of November, and the PSB received comment from the Governor's Council for the exceptional citizens, and they raised concerns about the lack of adapted physical education certification in the state. The board withdrew the regulation to look further into the issue, and in February, we heard from Sabre Collins, who is the Ed Associate for Physical Education and Health, as well as Frank Hughes, who is a PE teacher who works with students with disabilities at the Leach School. The board did identify that there may be a place for an adapted PE certification in Delaware, but if we did develop such a thing, it would be an additional special education certification, and therefore does not belong in the regular education, in the regulation that's before you tonight. And moreover, the timing is not quite right for starting on that. Delaware does not currently have any programs that lead to adapted PE certification. And so before we start requiring it as a cert, we need to have people be able to get the certification. And at the moment, there's little appetite in the field for additional requirements at a time of teacher shortages. So the department does want to add more PD around adapted physical education for physical education teachers. And so that is what you have tonight. So tonight you have the regular ed physical education regulation, and there may or may not be something coming in the future for a special education additional certification for this. Are there any questions?
Questions from board members?
Just very, very briefly, I noticed that in the comments, which are always helpful regarding the lead up to the presentation of the regulation, that upon analysis, there were some exposure, at least I think it was, you know, maybe one credit or more that introduces these professionals to concepts of adaptive physical education. And I'm wondering about that population when they are being served. Is that level of education provide them with enough to be able to serve them? Is it a problem where that population is being not serviced appropriately, or is this more so it's comments from the governor's advisory council more so about best practices as opposed to actual problem with how some of these students are being served?
So I do believe it's more of a best practice issue than an actual problem. We do have people who are trained in adapted PE in the state, even though there is nothing in our certification system that marks that. The one course may not be enough for all teachers, and all teachers, just like all regular ed teachers, do encounter students with special needs in the classroom. And so every teacher needs to be equipped to deal with that. However, with students with profound needs, generally speaking, those students are also surrounded by physical therapists and occupational therapists, and the PE teachers work very closely with those individuals to develop individual programs for those students with special needs. And that was one of the things that our board discussed pretty at great length, to talk about the involvement of those other professionals in the students' program.
Thank you.
Further questions for Dr. Bradshaw? Anyone on the line? Okay, I'm gonna take that silence for now. Thank you very much. We appreciate the time and seeing you here tonight. The next item on the agenda is just an update on those regulations that will be coming in front of us. So, Ms. Honor, if you wanted to go ahead and give us that.
Yes, you all have the list of regulations available to you. I don't have any specific that I wanted to highlight, but just wanted to provide the opportunity if anybody had any questions.
Okay, I'm going to take that silence for no questions. So at this time, we have public comment on regulations. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for public comment on regulations. The opportunity to sign up for public comment on regulations was available via email prior to this meeting. If you did not sign up and plan to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the chat box now. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. And I would just note that the board doesn't respond to questions or engage in a dialogue to anyone that offers comment during the meeting. Do we have anyone that is signed up? And again, this is just comment for regulations. We have two other public comment periods later.